Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Spiritual Conversations with your host, Drake Miller. And today, my guest, a good friend, Bibiana Loza. So say hi to everyone, Bibi.
Hey, everybody. You can just call me Bibi.
Stealing my ring, Bibi. That's like my whole introduction. You said, look, hey, everybody.
Yeah, it's just your thing now.
It is. It is. Well, I am so glad to be back today, and especially having this good conversation. We are about to dive into one of my favorite topics. So before we get into the word, I just want to say I hope everyone had such a blessed weekend, having a wonderful move of God. We have really been having great moves. We were privileged to be at Winter Youth Conference this weekend. So, yep. Bibi, you were there. If you had to sum up our experience in that service with one word, what would it be?
All right. And if hyphenated words count, then I would say it was life-changing.
Yeah, it was. I know one word we were using that night was divine. It really was.
Yes, it was.
We really went with some good expectation and God moved. And whether you were able to be there or whether you were in service at all, this morning, wherever you may find yourself, I really pray you have had a great weekend with friends and family, because at the end of the day, people need people. So yep. I'm really hoping and praying that everyone is ready for a new week. It's Monday and everyone is going to be blessed. So today we are having our first kind of conversation with, like I said, one of my great friends, and I had actually gone to her and I said, Bibi, I'm wondering what I should do for my next episode.
And I think I just casually said, like, oh, the word of God, because why not?
Exactly. And I kind of just said, okay, and then went back to my apartment and the Lord started really dealing with me on that, because I had been going back and forth between a few ideas and this really stuck, because I think one of the things that can get people, one of the ways that we falter is we don't understand the gravity of the word of God.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's wherever you are in your life, whether you are in church and have been in church for many, many years, you're just now coming in to Christ, or maybe you don't even know the Lord. I feel like a lot of people miss what God is saying and miss wisdom and knowledge because we don't ever open the word. So
yeah, I know I've listened to the song before, but I think the most powerful statement, or at least powerful lyric, was, you know, you say that God is silent, but yet your Bible is closed. And I think that's just something very profound.
Exactly. I remember 2 years ago now, I really was trying to get into the Word of God and get close to the Lord. And I developed such a hunger. And I've told people there is more to this Word than you can ever understand, because there's more to it than we can ever hold within ourselves. And if people could get that, if we could start to develop within ourselves a hunger for God, I think it would change all of our lives.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense that we could read the word, you know, we could read the same scripture every time, and every time it would be something different, because I mean, the God we serve is someone that's infinite, and yet the Bible that we read is something that's finite.
Exactly. And two, you've got, so scripture itself reminds us, right, that all scripture is given for inspiration. That's enough for some of us. Mm-hmm. And then it not only is good for inspiration, but it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for instruction and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good work. So that means in one book, you've got inspiration, you've got teaching, correction, rebuke, and training up into do the good works of the Lord. And that is enough to read eternally and try to understand eternally, and you'll never get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is too, it's not any ordinary book, because like, I mean, inspiration is just more than a good thought. Cause if you actually look at the, you know, translate it back into Greek, that theopneustos, the pneustos has a P in there for those listening. That wow. literally means God breathed. So it's something that's more than a good thunk, and it's not something that came from man.
And I was listening to a message a while ago, and the man of God was talking about how a lot of people, a lot of us have grown to not understand that it is the God-breathed word of God. It is the idea straight from the Lord's mind. It wasn't written by men out of their own ideas, but it came directly from Almighty God.
Yeah, and Peter even mentioned that in the Bible when talking about itself, that it didn't come from, you know, the hearts of man. It came as these men were inspired, or they were under the influence of the Holy Ghost. They wrote down the word of God.
And because it is written of God and not of man, it can be the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only an alive book mm-hmm. could do that.
Oh, of course.
Only something that is truly spoken of the Lord could constantly be living and active in our lives and piercing and discerning what the actual thoughts and intents of us are. And that's how it rebukes us and corrects us and inspires us.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, the word of God is not just like, oh yes, I can just read it on Sundays. You can go through any trial and you can read something in the Bible and it can just speak to you, versus any self-help book that's like, ah, yes, you know, you can, you know, make sure you save your money, versus in Proverbs where it mentioned, you know, don't sell yourself to the lender.
Right.
So, I mean, the Bible is not just for the holy. It's for the unholy. It's for the unrighteous.
Well, that's what something I'd actually written down to talk about earlier or later, but I feel like it fits now, is the word of God has all the highest moral ethics you could imagine.
Oh, of course.
It has the greatest moral code written out there. It sums up all the ideas of this higher power in the world. It answers all of your questions about how to be a good steward of your time and your money and your efforts. It includes everything you could imagine. I heard a minister a few days ago, he said, it is the book of books, and it was written by the God of gods. So it's no wonder that it's that powerful.
Of course.
And something I wanted to do that I think really helps us is we referenced the scripture earlier that said, you know, the word of God is alive and active. And I wanted to break that down and see what that shows us, because it goes along with exactly what we're talking about. How when you look at the word alive, it comes from a word in the original language, which means being alive spiritually and eternally. So this book that we're talking about, the Word of God, has the same explanation as God himself does in Scripture. Because it says God is a spirit, and it was the New Testament writer that said that he is the King eternal and immortal and invisible, the only wise God. So that proves right there's something more to this book than just pages and ink.
Of course. I mean, there's got to be something if it's, I believe, still the number one best-selling book of all time.
And, you know, there was a minister who said, it's not the book of the month. It's not the book of the year. It's the book of the ages.
Oh, of course.
And why? Because it is written by the Ancient of Days. It's written by God Almighty.
Yep, the Rock of Ages.
And so it's going to last through all time. And if you look at the word active, now this is something that brought out a point that I think is really interesting. The word active there is a word which refers to energy as always moving or doing something. The word of God and its writer, who is Almighty God, being active. And this is what Christ testified to when he said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. And I know the wording there can be a little hard to understand, so we'll explain. The teachers of the law were upset with the Lord for healing a man on the Sabbath day, as it was against Moses' law to do so. And the Lord looked at them and responded very simply. He said, the Father never stops working, so neither do I. So the Word is always working, and the Word is always moving. And he himself said, I am about my Father's business. And mm-hmm. so when you read in the Word about the one who is called the Word of God, he is always alive and active. And there was a more contemporary writer who said, God never ceases working. And work is the property of God, and much the more, inasmuch he is the origin of action for all others. So the Word is always working. Yeah. And this brings out a good point about, you know, we have said on the seventh day, he rested. And that's talking about creation and how, you know, on the seventh day of creation, he rested. But that rest was the completion of the works. It was not, nor could it be, an end in divine work or in the divine flow of energy. So, see, this time of work and then rest was to be an example for man and for animal and tree and field. All these things being creation, which needs time to work and time to rest. But God is and was and will always be the ever constant source of energy and life for all of heaven and earth and sea. And his Word is that same constant flow of energy and life.
Yeah.
For us.
And I mean, even the Word says that, you know, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, I mean, we can be confident that the Word, you know, it's not going to change on its own. It's not going to be something different 100 years from now. It's going to be that same Word that was written, you know, millennia ago.
And it's able to impact your life in this era, just as the spoken Word of God impacted the time back then. You know, countless times in just the first chapter of the Word of God alone, it said, and God said.
Yeah.
And the spoken Word changed the present circumstance, changed where and what the earth was going through. And now this, the written Word we have, is able to have that chain, that same transforming power in mm-hmm. our life, because it's the same flow of energy.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the same idea. And so when you consider that we're simply just talking about the Word of God, we've gone out to abstractions, we've talked about different aspects, it begins to put the Word into perspective. The Bible starts to become more than the book that sits on your coffee table or the page you scroll on your phone every morning to check off Bible reading on your to-do list.
Or even just to say, hey, I have like a 50-day streak. I got to keep it up.
Exactly. It becomes more than a streak on that yeah. Bible app. You start to see the majesty of this book. And we surely could sit here and talk about the construction of the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
Alone. I mean, we're about to sit here and give some fun facts about it that I really think can help us in understanding that gravity of the Word. It was written over a span of approximately 1600 years, involving 60 generations and 40 authors from every walk of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, tent makers, and physicians. It was written in the wilderness, in dungeons and palaces, on an island, and during both peacetime and wartime. It was written in not one, but three basic languages: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And it tells the story of people from all across the then known world, and tells the entire story of the world from beginning to end. But it has one message.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the majesty, is it can be written by all these people in all these times, in all these languages, and there's one harmony of message. There's one flow of idea from Genesis to Revelation. It tells the beautiful story of the love of God and redemption through a man called Jesus. And that's what we were talking about earlier, yeah. is how every book in this written Word tells the same story of a one King who is the King immortal and the only wise God. Yeah. What do you think about that, baby?
I mean, it's just, and the thing is, like, a lot of times these authors did not know each other, or if they did, they were so far apart. And also think about at the time, they did not have cars, they didn't have airplanes, they had to either walk or ride to the next destination. And also something that's really interesting is that they were, a lot of times, some of these were on different continents, like right. spanning thousands of miles. And I mean, the fact that it all has that one cohesive message just indicates that it was not by all of these different authors. It wasn't of their own accord, but that there was that one author behind it all.
I heard an interesting point, and you, one time, you can go through every book of the Bible and you will not find one error. You will not find one problem. The whole book is 1/4 prophecy. And yet every bit of it is true. And yep. it was written by different prophets at different times in different places. And it has not one error in it. And that tells you, just as you were saying, that it had to be written by a perfect yep. being to be a perfect yeah. book.
And I mean, speaking of prophecy, just for a little bit, like, I mean, there are prophecies from thousands of years ago that are coming to pass today. And we're seeing it today. We're seeing some of the words that Jesus even said, yeah, over 2,000 years ago, being fulfilled today.
Right now.
Yeah.
And in that, because it was written by an eternal, true, almighty God and not by man, it is able to touch everyone. It can bless and comfort the old. It can excite mm-hmm. the young. It can challenge the middle aged. It speaks clearly to the banker and the farmer and the housewife and educator, the student, the professional man, and the factory worker. It speaks to the talented and the handicapped, and it can speak to us in this day because it is that alive and active
yeah.
and relevant
mm-hmm.
word. Because the word of God is able to be applicable to every person's life on this earth, and everyone is in a different place mentally, geographically, spiritually, and emotionally, and yet it can touch you.
Yeah, but the key thing is you have to let it touch you.
Come on.
Because, I mean, you know, you can have access to the doctor, but if you don't step into that office, if you don't go to the doctor, I mean, you're still going to sit there in your sickness, or, you know, you're still going to be injured. You're not going to get that, you know, get the medicine that you need.
And that's why I wanted to do this, because I want to instill in all of us a true hunger for the word of God. But Bibi, we may have some people listening and they hear all that we're talking about, this book, this leather bound book. Mm-hmm. And they say, but what's really different? Sure, it was written by God, but what is really different about this? Because And the answer to that is it's not even just a book. The word of God is a man. And the man is called Jesus Christ. And I'm about to show you, because John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the word was made flesh.
Yep.
And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word is not just a book. The word is a man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And so that's when you take this printed page book and you realize that it is an eternal Savior, and it was yep. written by him, about him, for us.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what really allows you to go to Genesis. And like we said earlier, how you can read countless times, and God said, and we immediately think it was just a voice howling over an empty earth. And we awe at it, but we can't understand it. And you realize that it was not just a voice being spoken, it was Christ working, because mm-hmm. Christ is the word and he created.
Yeah.
You can read in the Old Testament how Moses met God at Sinai, and you read of the magnificent sighting of God when there was thunderings and lightnings and the sound of a trumpet. And we think that maybe that's what the word is. Maybe that's the sound. And when you read in the Revelation, John turned around after hearing the sound of a trumpet and he saw Christ. So the word spoken at even Sinai was Christ.
Yeah. And the thing is too, I know some people might get the idea, oh, well, God has to like speak to me in a loud booming voice at like the midnight hour. Well, it doesn't have to be like that because the prophet Elijah, I believe it's like either 1 or 2 Kings, you know, he was listening for the Lord in the thunderings and all of these natural disasters that were happening at one time, but yet it was a still small voice. So the volume, does it impact the gravity of the word?
Because the greatest reservoir of God speaking is found in his word.
Yeah.
And it's silent. The book doesn't make a noise. The book doesn't thunder or lightning. But in it are all the answers to your life. So you're waiting on some magnificent sound. And he's given us the greatest reservoir of his word in something that we can hold and we can cherish and we can have access to every day of our life. I mean, Moses had this great witness of God, but it wasn't there all the time.
Yeah.
It departed off the mountain. But we have the word written for us every single day. And that's why when you read the word, you aren't just reading a book. You aren't just even reading some word that came from the Lord. You are getting into Jesus Christ himself and allowing him to get into you. The more you read the word, the more you listen to the voice of God, you are literally having Jesus Christ get inside of you and change you and help you and lead you and guide you. And that's what David meant when he said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you." You read the written word, and through that, the word of God, the same word that was spoken at creation or at Sinai, which is Christ, penetrates into you as far as your heart until you can't even sin against him. That's the beauty of the word of God.
Yeah, it really is. And the thing is, like, you know, for those that, you know, probably at one point were living for God, but maybe aren't anymore, the word that you read, you know, when you were younger, that's not going to leave you. Because I can tell you, like, I remember memorizing scripture when I was younger, but then, you know, when I went to college, I just kind of said, nah, it's not for me. But then when I came back, everything that I've memorized just came back to me.
Right.
In an instant.
Because the word is alive and active. You may have walked away. You may be doubting it.
Yeah.
But its life doesn't depend on where you're at.
That's right.
It doesn't depend on circumstance. You can be as far away from the house of God or the body of Christ as you could possibly find yourself. And the word living in you is still alive and active. And it's working to lead you just as it did back in the Old Testament, when it led people through deserts and up mountains and back to Christ, it's leading us in this very day.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's living inside of us. And that's why I keep coming back to this point of developing a hunger for the word. Because when you develop a hunger for the written word, that hunger for the written word turns into a hunger for God himself. Job said this. He said, "I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth," meaning the mouth of God, "more than my necessary food." Job started having a longing for God's word, and it eventually became a longing for God himself. And because God reveals himself through his word.
Yeah.
You always meet God back. And so there have been testimonies, like you were saying, who people who were not even believing in God, or maybe even wanting to disprove the Bible, they sat down, opened the word of God, and Jesus Christ revealed himself to them.
Yeah.
And they came back to believing because, again, that word is alive and active in all of our lives. And the next point is really the word of God has been settled long before it was ever written down.
Yeah.
And it will remain settled long after the whole world and all the written pages are gone. Because that brings us to back to that point of it being not just a book, but a man. Because God said of his word that it is forever settled in heaven. That means it stands in the records of eternity. And we know that the fullness of the word of God and that word being settled in eternity is found when Christ makes his return to the earth in Revelation. And it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. But catch this, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God."
Yeah.
So the Word of God is settled in heaven because the Word of God is the ruler of heaven and of earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. And that's how it's alive and active. Jesus Christ, the one who was credited with creating at Genesis,
yeah,
is the one riding on the white horse in the Revelation. That is the Word of God. So when you develop a hunger for the Word, you're developing a hunger for Christ.
Yeah.
You look like you have a thought.
Oh, of course I do. I have many thoughts. So, and I think, I mean, that's just what's so beautiful about the Bible. And that's what makes it so different from any other holy text is because what other holy text speaks of itself that it's forever settled in heaven? And I mean, if you don't believe the Old Testament, I mean, first of all, you should, because I mean, all the New Testament authors quoted that. But if you just want to follow what Jesus says, then Jesus even said that, you know, heaven and earth can pass away, but his word won't pass away.
Exactly.
So, I mean.
And he was testifying of himself in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He said the word will not pass away because in Revelation, he said, "I was alive and I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. He is the one which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." He's forever settled.
Oh, yeah.
So he was saying and testifying of himself when he said, "All things can pass away, but the word will be forever settled."
Yeah.
That is amazing. And that brings us to our kind of next point. The Bible that you have on your table or the Bible app that you have on your phone, or maybe that worn out thing your grandmother's always reading, it is not just a book. It's the key to Jesus Christ, and it's the key to life itself. And this is the point that I want all of us to hear, is the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ himself, will never pass away, but our chance to read it might.
Yeah.
And access to its power might. The Word of God is Christ, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, but the written word is only here for a time. And even though the word is ruling for always, the written word might one day be gone.
How so?
Because when all things have passed away,
mm-hmm,
the earth is gone, the written word will be stored in heaven, but there may not be any print on the earth.
Yeah, that's true.
When all things have passed away. And that is a very intimidating moment. But we have hope.
Praise God.
Because God Almighty allowed all these things to be written, all the stories, all the examples, and most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation to be written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So if there's no promise of tomorrow, and there's no promise that we'll always have access to the written word, there are people on this earth who now it's illegal for them to have evidence of a Holy Bible in their life. If you have access to it today, why not pick it up?
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just so powerful what David said, you know, kind of going back to Psalm 119, where he says, you know, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." if we could just hide the word in our heart, even if, you know, maybe the next day in the United States, you know, Bible, the, having a holy text, having the Bible might be illegal if we have it hid in our heart, kind of, or, you know, referencing to Proverbs, you know, having it written on the tablets of our heart, you know, if we have that, we will make it. We're going to make it through, because it's like you've been saying, it's alive, it's active. And if you have it in your heart, it's going to be working on your heart.
And that is the push that we as people of the Lord have got to make to everyone around us, and that I make to any of you who may be listening that don't know the Word of God as well. Hide it in your heart. It's the only way to really get to Christ. There was an interesting thought I heard a little while ago. And as I just said, I didn't come up with this. I'm just sharing it, so don't judge me for it. But it's an interesting thing when David wrote, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Now, the word magnify comes from the Hebrew word gadol, and means the same thing as the English word magnify, and it means to enlarge, to enhance, to blow up, expand, or make bigger. Now, ask yourself this: how will you make Jesus Christ any bigger? How will you make the Lord any bigger than he already is? The writer in Psalm says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." John 4:24 says, "God is a spirit." Paul in Corinthians says, "The Lord is that spirit," and Acts 9:5 says, "Jesus is Lord." So how are you going to make the one who is the everlasting King eternal, the one that rules from everlasting to everlasting, any bigger? How are you going to make him any larger than he already is? Before the world was formed, Revelation says Jesus is the King of Kings. Before we ever got here, in 1 Timothy 6:15, it tells us he was the Lord of Lords. Daniel says he's the God of gods. Isaiah 9:6 says he's the wonders of wonders. And in Daniel again, it says he's the Prince of Princes. The third verse of the book of Jude calls him the faith of faith. Hebrews said he's the captain of captains. Peter testified that he is the bishop of bishops. And Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that he's the science of sciences. So how will you make the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wonders of wonders, God of gods, Prince of princesses, books of books, faiths of faith, captains of captains, and bishops of bishops, and sciences of sciences any bigger than he already is? Seems pretty impossible.
I mean, with God, all things are possible, but I'll let you get to that.
Exactly. So just like you said, if the word said, "Oh, magnify the Lord," there must be a way to do it. Bibi, you're a biology professor.
Yes, I am.
So think of when you're teaching a biology lab, or to all who I'm talking to, think of when you were in a biology course, or maybe you're in one now. When you're a student in one of these labs, you have to go into a lab and look at the microscope to observe some specimen. And whenever you look into a microscope, there is one thing to remember: the microscope does not ever change what you put in it to observe.
Yeah, that's right.
The microscope does not work on what you are looking at. The microscope works on you. Magnification, he said, "Oh, magnify." Magnification never works on what the person is looking at. It works on the person.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
So when the Bible says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," look at it like this. The Bible is the microscope. Jesus is the specimen. When you look through the microscopic lens of the written word of God, it allows you to see Jesus, the real word, as he really is. It allows Jesus to become as big to you as he is to himself. Jesus doesn't get any bigger. Jesus doesn't change.
Yeah, that's
right. But Jesus Christ becomes bigger in your life and mine the more we look through the microscopic lens of the Holy Bible to see Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the thing about microscopes is it's not just one lens. You can always magnify more. You can always kind of get a bigger image of that as well. But again, it's up to you. Do you want?
Yeah. Exactly. It is up to you. You can always change the settings. You can always look at it in a different way to get a new perspective. The specimen stays the same. Jesus yeah. Christ is always the same. But the more you look at it, the closer you're going to want to yeah. get. And so you'll make the lens bigger.
Yeah. And the thing to know about microscopes, and just kind of thinking back to teaching my students about microscopes and kind of looking at specimens, is that, you know, these students, they think they see something, but I always tell them, just focus a little bit more. And sometimes we might think, oh, you know, maybe the Lord's not really speaking to me. Just focus a little bit more and you'll eventually see what you need to see.
You know, I'll sit down in a morning to do my Bible reading. And just as you were saying, I'll be reading and I'm not picking up anything. I'm mm-hmm. reading it, but it doesn't feel like the word is open to me.
Yeah.
And I'll almost just close my Bible and go, well, I guess this morning it was not meant to be revelatory. I'll push a few more minutes.
Yeah.
I'll focus a little bit more on the word of God and it opens up. And that takes mm-hmm. me right back to that scientific example. I work in a research lab myself, and sometimes it takes a long time to get the magnification and the microscope yep. adjusted just right. Mm-hmm. But when you do, it can lead you to the biggest discoveries in science
oh, yeah.
ever. And so the more we read the word, the more we magnify Jesus Christ in our life through getting into the word of God, the more you will learn about him and the more you'll be amazed. So, friend, believe God's word today. Believing in God's word will unlock the storehouse of divine blessings and victory for you, not just through paper and ink, but through Jesus Christ. So why don't you stop right now and pick up your Bible? Take time and read it. Take it into your hand as a simple step of faith. If you already know the Lord, take it and read to discover deeper truths of God. There's more to this word than you can ever understand, because there is more to Christ than you can ever hold. And if you don't know Christ, or it's been a while since you have made contact with him and his word, let the light of truth shine into your heart. Christ is the fullness of hope and of joy and of peace, patience, and a list of all other things. And the way that you access all of that and have it working in your life is through opening up his word. In the written word of God, there are exceeding great and precious promises, and they are all for you. All the promises are written that you might believe and receive. The written word will lead you to knowing Jesus Christ and knowing he is the beginning and continuation of a new life. So, Bibby, thank you so much for coming on and having this discussion about the Word of God. I hope it has helped all of us. And I'll close out by just saying, I hope everyone is blessed and has peace and joy. If you have a home church, I pray you and your church are blessed this week and in the upcoming weeks. But if you don't, we would love to see you at Restoration Apostolic Church, 110 Moores Grove Road, Winterville, Georgia. And if you don't have a home church and you don't live near our area, reach out to me. I would love to hear from you and help you find a body to connect to. So until next time, thank you and be blessed.